Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we are your only daily Astros podcast. We are your team every day. My name is H-Town Wheelhouse, and you can find me on Twitter at H-Town Wheelhouse. You can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros. The Astros win their 10th straight game today, and today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. Every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from Locked On MLB Network's team local experts like Eric Heisman and myself, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for your daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. All right, let's start with Rip Griffin. Rip Griffin, tell the people where they can find you at.
Hey, what's going on? You can find me on Twitter at Rip Griffin too. I'm there all the time. So if you follow me, I'll follow you back. So
awesome. And he has a great podcast, Rip Griffin Pod, the Rip Griffin Show. He's got a cool intro music and stuff like us. I think he inspired us to get that intro music. And we got the World Series champion, Clay Hensley. I should call you the Nature Boy because you are always jet flying. I mean, you keep it real, jet setting. He's in San Diego right now, I believe. Clay, where can they find you online?
You can find me at chensley32 on Twitter and at Clay Hensley on Instagram or on any Southwest flight near you.
That's right. That's right. And don't be one of those people trying to go viral with the cell phone because he will not put up with that mess. No, but seriously, you know, I got a hold of Clay, and Clay, I thank you for coming on. And Rip, I was trying to line up some different guests this week, and this worked out perfect. Y'all are our mystery guests. So surprise, we unveiled the mystery guests. And what a great game to join Locked On Astros, as Eric is out of town again this week for one more day. Tomorrow night, we have Ben Verlander from Flippin' Bats Podcast and Fox Sports. And don't forget, this Sunday at noon, Webster, the NASA location, Hooters, we will be live. We'll be giving away some Astros tickets. I just got a hold of some Skeeters tickets. We'll be giving away some sublimated jerseys and things like that. So come join, come have some brews, come eat some wings, and come watch the Astros win another game. Hopefully the win streak is still alive. So with that being said, the Astros absolutely pummel the Orioles 13-0. It wasn't even a question with a 3-0 start to the first inning. And, you know, the boos continue to rain on Jose Altuve. And I love the boos get louder and louder, and then he just crushes home runs. He's the Metallica. He's the Enter Sandman, I think, of the Astros right now. He lulls those pitchers to sleep, and boom, he crushes your dreams. And, you know, Clay, it's been a while since we talked. And I think the first time we talked, the Astros were hot to start the season. And then they went through this huge lull in the season where they just were not playing good baseball. And now they've caught fire to win 10 in a row. Rip, I know you were watching the game today. Tell us about the long balls that the Astros hit this afternoon.
Oh man, where can you start? Because it's truly it's phenomenal how these guys have been so patient at the plate during these last, you know, 10 games that they've won. You know, Jordan got a hold of one there off a rookie knuckleball pitcher, which they were kind of showing the clips after in the post game that just looked like, you know, batting practice fastballs, and he got a hold of it and sent it over into, you know, a center field. Chaz McCormick, he's been one that has been, I want to say that he needs to be a all-star nominee because he has truly turned it on since he's been a more present in the lineup as well. Jose Altuve at the top of the lineup. I mean, it's this offense is just getting to it, man. And it's fun to watch these guys just, I mean, 17 hits in the, you know, what was it, the seventh inning or so they had racked up. So this team is clicking on all cylinders right now, and it's exciting to watch as they go into Detroit.
So Clay, I'm going to throw this to you with your major league experience. Now, Tucker just came off the IL. He had like a stomach bug. He lost like 10 pounds. And then Bregman is out with the quad strain for probably 4 to 6 weeks, possibly 8 weeks. It's going to be a couple months before we see him. So Abraham Toro, who had been tearing it up in AAA, has come up and he's hitting 306. He was 2 for 5 today. He hit a home run today. Mm-hmm. That was phenomenal. How big is it on the major league club to have your guys from the minor leagues come up and step in for the big guys and do big things?
Well, I'll tell you what, that kind of is a little bit, it's a pat on the back to the front office brass of the Houston Astros for who they draft. Because if you notice a lot of the Astros, especially whenever you have the major league club is going to be in contention, which the Astros have been, and I, you know, will be for the foreseeable future, you know, pretty young ball club for the most part. You know, that offense, they're not expecting guys to come in from AAA to the big league club to fill in some shoes and just be there and fill a hole and hopefully play some defense. These guys have to have some run production because the Astros lineup is specifically set up in a unique manner. I mean, you have some power at the top of the lineup, obviously with Altuve. Most ball clubs don't have a guy that's going to have as many home runs and as much power and pop as Altuve does from the leadoff spot. And then you're going to take it, you know, you got Brantley coming up, who's always going to just quietly hit his 300 and whatever every season. It's you got to come up and you have to have run production. You got to come in there and you got to be able to perform. And look, for Toro to come up, you know, and going 2 for 5 at the plate, hitting a little dinger. These guys are big league ready down there in AAA. You know, the AAA ball club for the Houston Astros is stacked, probably could be in the lineup for most big league ball clubs throughout the league. And, you know, they're doing exactly what they were drafted to do. You know, they're coming in and they got a ball club that's in contention. And if somebody goes down, you know, the expectation is for you to come in and fill those shoes in pretty damn close to what the guy who's down is missing. And, you know, to fill those shoes and get it done right.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, my thoughts on that is just the same in that you got guys like Chaz McCormick. And we talked last night. I talked on the show, on the podcast about how Chaz McCormick I talked with Trevor Hauer last night, how McCormick and Straw seemed to complement each other. Straw at the beginning of the year really struggled. He was having a tough time at the plate. He was having a tough time in the field on the bases. And I really think there was some sort of pressure getting to him because he is a grinder. He's one of these guys. He's not your imposing 6'7" Taylor Jones build. He's a smaller guy. We know he has speed, but it's like Springer's gone. Your turn, kid. And he hadn't been given consistent at-bats the last season and a half. He had come up here and there as spot starts, but he had hit over 300 in the minor leagues. And so nobody really believed in Straw. I didn't know how he would do, and he stepped up. And then, like, McCormick had family visiting Clay, and the first at-bat he gets in the game, he hits a home run to right center field. I mean, it's just – it seems like it's infectious. And this team – I kind of want to go into it right now. The whole statistical anomaly that I would say that Larry the GM sent to us about the Astros OPS, and we'll get to the pitchers part of it later. Astros hitting over 780 OPS. Brantley 925, Correa 922, Gurriel 908, Alvarez 894, Altuve 891, Tucker 847, Toro 831, McCormick 824, and McCormick and Bregman both are at 787. I mean, this lineup is stout. Michael Brantley now is in the major league lead for batting average. He is right now, if it ended today, would be the American League batting champion. He's beyond Vlad Guerrero Jr., and this is another two-hit game. Clay, this guy's dialed in, and yep. So having a guy like him on the team, how important is it to have Brantley to be the smooth, calm, consistent, non-emotional guy for the hitters around him?
Well, that 356 makes it nice and smooth. You know, the thing is, yeah. Well, hey, what did I tell you whenever we were in the offseason and we were talking about this stuff? And, you know, you were talking about whether Brantley was going to leave or whether he was going to stay or whatnot. And I told you, I said, I knew from the very beginning he was going to stay because the Astros couldn't let him go. He was one of those guys that he is a veteran ball player that's on that team. He is a leader on that ball team, but he does every year in and year out, he's going to hit 300 plus. And that's the production that you needed. And that's the kind of production that is infectious when you see some of these younger guys coming in and stepping in. You know, whenever I was a rookie and I got called up to the San Diego Padres, And we were in the, you know, contention for it in 2005, 2006. You know, that was a pretty veteran ball club. And to kind of go back on what we were talking about earlier, you know, guys like Brantley were on that ball club. You know, we had veteran guys up there just hitting 300, you know, like it was their job. And they did that every year. And that's why these young guys are coming in and stepping in, and they're doing such a good job, because it kind of raises your level a little bit. You know, even though you get to the big leagues, when you get called up, you're already kind of raising your game a little bit. But when you see that it's around, you're like, well, this is business. You know, there's no time to mess around. We got to win now. You tend to step up your game a little bit. When you have guys like Brantley around you, with that leadership quality, with the willingness to kind of teach you, kind of help these younger guys, like, hey, this is what you need to be thinking in these situations, kind of giving them the scouting report of things that they need to be doing that you don't get, you know, play. It doesn't matter how long you play in AAA, you got to get this at the big league club. When you have guys like Brantley surrounded some of these younger guys, you start to see some of these younger guys start to have that production and get exactly what they're trying to get, what the Astros want to get out of them when they were drafted or when they were traded for. And that's one of the things. Brantley was one of those guys that, not only is his on-the-field production, you know, a major component to this ball club winning, but it's also his locker room presence. And that's what gets your younger guys playing at the caliber that the Houston Astros young players are playing at today.
That is awesome. Hey, Rip, I'm going to throw it to you about Jose Urquidy, and then I see a question that Larry, the GM, has for Clay specifically. But tell us a little bit about Jose Urquidy's outing as compared to just the year he's having.
Well, you know, Jose has kind of been, he kind of started off a little bit slow this season, but he's kind of picked it up over the last couple starts. You know, tonight he went 7 innings, only gave up 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He's not one of those pitchers that's going to overpower you with, you know, breaking ball stuff, but he's going to pitch, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to throw you strikes, and that's what makes him so effective, because he's just one of those that's, he's going to go out there, he's going to grind, he's going to pitch, he's going to make you work. And at the end of the day, he's going to come out, and he's always so cool, calm, and collected, especially when he's on the mound and when he walks off the mound.
Yep.
And it's one of those that's what you need with this rotation. You need guys. I mean, Framber is another one that's always cool, calm, and collected. But Jose has been great as the season has progressed, as he's gotten more starts. I kind of would have, you know, even though the game was out of reach, I would have liked him to actually go and try to just finish the game out.
Yeah,
because he's one of those that he wants to pitch 200 innings this season. Yeah. He wants to eclipse that 150 that he's pitched over the past, you know, couple seasons. But I think as the season progresses, we're going to see more of Jose Urquidy kind of just become more dominant, more dialed in, and he's going to be one of those effective pitchers come, you know, down the season and into September and October.
No, yeah, definitely. And you know, we have a wealth of pitching, we have a wealth of hitting, but do you have wealth front? Let me tell you, decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year, kind of like the Baltimore Orioles. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Basically, Wealthfront are the Houston Astros of investing, okay? Wealthfront can create a portfolio that is globally diversified, low-cost index fund, personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. You don't need a $100 million contract and a Briggy Bomb salsa to make it big. You just need Wealthfront. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. So check this out. Stick with me, guys. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets. That's right. That's huge, okay? And you can get your first $5,000 managed for free for life. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. And you don't need a $100 million contract or $5,000. You just need $500 to start. Grow your wealth the easy way. Let wealthfront.com do the work for you. So go get your first $5,000 managed for free for life. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. And one more thing before I bring Clay in here to have a question. I know he has something to add from what Rip said. And if you're the betting type and you like to get into sports betting, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Will the Astros win 11 games? Will they beat the longest winning streak of the season of 13 against Oakland? You can go there and get all the odds and information of all your sporting needs. Before the next pitch, the next Astros game, head over to Bet Online. on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't just sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their run for the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use a promo code Locked On. Bet online, your sportsbook expert. Kicking it to you, Clay.
Yeah, you know, look, hey, I want to touch on that, Rip, because you're absolutely correct. You know, what I would have liked to see is have him go the distance. You know, you see a lot of, ball clubs these days kind of doing exactly this, you know, with their, some of their younger starters, and they want them to come out of the game, ahead and feeling good about himself. But, well, you know, this was a boat race, and in a situation like this, you know, having thrown, 84 pitches, you know, and quite frankly, was pretty impressive with 69 of those being strikes. You know, I would have liked to see the Astros extend him, let him finish the game, because look, you never know what's going to happen in this ball game. All right. Anything could happen tomorrow. The Astros are 100% absolutely riding a nice wave right now. Two games shy of a club record, you know, that was done in 99-04 and 18, you know, by winning 12 games in a row back then. But you can run into a buzzsaw real quick. This game can humble you, and you might need that bullpen. You know, you might need that bullpen to come in a stretch. We might have some starters go out the next couple of days that kind of get touched up for whatever reason, where a bullpen that's rested could come in and save that ball game. Plus, having a guy like Urquidy go out and go the distance, finish the ball game, you know, that's a confidence thing for him. You know, throwing a complete game, you know, even if he would have given up a few runs and extending those pitches, you know, getting up into the 105, 110 range, you know, that's what's going to get you going deep in the playoffs as well when you need these starters to go deep. You know, shutting these guys down early, midway through the season at 84 pitches, I would have liked to see him go the distance. I think it would have been a really big plus for him, and it would have been a huge pickup and a rest for the bullpen as well.
Exactly. So I want to get to this question. Larry the GM says, Clay, can you address something? How much benefit do you see in the 6-man rotation? In a normal week with an off day that has a 5-man rotation, it's like the 6-man rotation during this 20-day run that they're on.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, I the 6-man rotation, I don't necessarily, you know, feel like it's something that needs to be done. You know, I think that, you know, if you just kind of stack it up as the rotation falls into order, you know, you might have to shift, some of the long guys might have to kind of like share some of the load there and whatnot. But, you know, the 6-man rotation, I think when you start getting out of your kind of routine as a starter, you know, where you might get bumped back an extra day or you might get an extra day's rest, I think at this point of the season, I don't think it's something that benefits anybody, to be honest with you. I kind of like sticking with the old school 5-man rotation and just kind of rolling with it how it is. And then if sometimes you need to shuffle out somebody in the middle relief role, bring up a younger guy to have an extra arm for a couple of days, you know, I kind of more in line with that, I guess, because maybe that's what happened to me.
So, I hear you. You have some personal feelings that are tied to
that 6-man rotation when I was playing, but no.
I hear you. So, Clay, one more question from Johnny Munoz. Do you think that 200 inning type of pitchers will be extinct soon, since ball clubs would rather save those innings for the playoffs?
You know, I honestly think it's starting to dwindle down. I had a fortunate conversation with Gaylord Perry some time ago, and we were talking, and we were actually specifically talking about this. And, you know, I think a lot of ball clubs are doing this because they're saying that it's protecting their pitchers or protecting their arms. But, you know, if you see it, it seems like, consistently each year, at least over the last decade, these injuries seem to be popping up a little bit more. And I think it's from not extending these guys. I think it's protecting them a little bit. I think they need to extend these guys a little bit more in AAA to get those arms strong and get used to throwing the 200 plus innings. I do think it's probably, as each year goes on right now, I think that the way that the metrics are going and the way that the games are managed now, I think it is going to be something that's going to be somewhat extinct, which is sad. You know, I mean, you want to see those horses out there, once every 5 days. I think if you look at it, since they pulled the innings back, you see a lot of these pitchers getting hurt more. I don't think that there's really much it's doing for saving the tank for the playoffs. I think extending these guys early on, and as you get towards, August and September, which is why, you know, back in the day when we had the September call-ups, you know, that's what it was for, is to kind of give the horses the break, you know, getting ready to go into the playoffs. Just speaking of that, you know, when I was talking to Perry, I was like, you know, what's the most pitches you've ever thrown in a game? And he was like, 218. And I was like,
wow,
what?
Wow.
And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, yeah, we went 18 innings. So it was an extra inning game, and he stayed in the game, and you won't see that anymore.
No,
he was kind of ragging us pitchers these days, you know, not being you know, strong enough. But, you know, that was a different ball club and, you know, different ball game. And I, you know, I just think that it's starting to change. It changes every year. I never thought I'd be that pitcher that'd be like, oh, the game's changed. But it's significantly changing with the way the metrics are and the way that they're, you know, I guess scouting and front offices are starting to assess these pitchers.
It's kind of like, and I don't remember the guy's name, but there was a lineman for the Green Bay Packers that I believe broke his femur or his tibia, whatever your lower leg bone is. I don't know what, I'm not a doctor. Whatever that, yeah, femur, broke his femur like in the second quarter of a football game and knew he broke his leg, but he was afraid to tell Lombardi that he was hurt, so he played the rest of the game on a broken leg.
Oh, oh man!
You won't get that. You won't get that anymore, no, man.
No,
you get a bone contusion. These guys are getting carted off. The worst thing that ever happened to sports was slow mo zoom in cameras.
That is the worst, especially that after that Joe Theismann hit. Ouch, that hurts.
Soccer players hate it.
No, yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that happened, and actually I'll give Chandler Rome credit for this. I won't take credit for this stat that he found, but the Astros had 3 2-out hits in the first inning. Okay. Two came on 2 strike counts. The Astro had entered today's game as the only lineup in baseball hitting over 200, OPSing over 600 and slugging more than 300 and 2 strike counts. This wow. team, when they have the pressure on, it's funny. It kind of reminds me, and this is a horrible analogy, but my son, when he was, I guess, 9 years old, we did the whole baseball pictures. We made the baseball card. And then I was like, wait, you can make baseball cards on tops.com. So I made a baseball card, and on the back, the blurb is 2 strike Sammy, because every one of my son's hits that season were on 2 strikes. Like he would swing at something or he would watch a pitch, 2 strikes, he'd get a hit. If he got 2 strikes, yeah, I knew he was getting on base. And so, you know, 2 strike hits are huge because that's typically a pitcher's count. That's typically when the pitcher's gonna let it fly.
Yeah.
And when the pitchers know, crap, no matter what count I'm in, they're going to hit the ball. That is a massive advantage. I want to take a second to focus on, to kind of give like a little minor league minute or half minute. Corey Lee has played 8 games in Corpus. He's their catcher. He's the catcher of the future, they say, for the Astros. He's already hit 4 home runs in Corpus. Mm-hmm. And Whataburger Field, from what I understand, from what Josh Rojas told me when I interviewed him at Round Rock, that is not a home run hitting ballpark. That's not a ballpark that you hit a ton of home runs out of. Yeah, and when you try to pull it, because of the wind and everything, but literally he's got 4 home runs in 8 games, just absolutely crushing the ball. And I'm, you know, hearing some rumblings on the ground that he may be jettisoned to AAA sooner than a lot of people think. And so that is kind of a cool thing. Real quick, if you are having problems getting to the game, or let's say even if you live close like me to Sugar Land and your car is breaking down or rip, you're trying to come up, you know, you're an hour and a half drive up to Houston and you need auto parts, you need to go to rockauto.com. Save time and money using Rock Auto. Why would you spend 30, 50 or 100% more on some parts that you get in chain stores or a car dealership? Then when you go to rockauto.com, and literally I was looking at, dude, I think I'm convinced that I'm going to change my own brakes on my truck, on my Nissan Titan, because the brake parts and the rotors alone, it's so cheap. Like I can get 4 rotors, 4 sets of brake pads for under what it would cost me to go get the brake job done. I like cut in half, right? So I don't pay the labor. I pay half the cost because Rock Auto is family owned. They have an easily navigable website. They are the kings when it comes to auto parts. And so this is what I want you to do. Think about where you need to get, what you need to get fixed. Rip, you need carpet for that minivan. Clay, I know you got that Maserati. You need some new leather for your Maserati. Go check it out at rockauto.com. You see what I did there? And so go explore their easy to use website. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us box and let them know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need. It's rockauto.com. All right. So here's the deal. Larry the GM also gave us some stats on the pitching. The pitchers, all these pitchers are pitching south of 370. Now, I got kind of I got the scorn of some of our fans earlier because all I kept talking about was batting average, and they were like, you're not talking about anything else. And so ERA, I know ERA is a bad stat to look at for all the baseball nerds, but it's still pretty important because it means how many runs you're giving up per nine innings. I know it's not a complete picture, but get this, Clay and Rip, hitting south of 370. I'll start with the highest. Ryan Stanek, 364. Greinke, 354. Taylor, 338. Urquidy, 332. Okay, those are all in the threes, and Stanek has come down quite a bit. Javier, 297. McCullers, 290. Garcia, 282. Presley, 180. Valdez, 167. I mean, okay, so check out those last two that I just read. Valdez and Presley, your ace. I think Valdez is the ace of this club, and Presley, your closer. Rip, how impressed are you with the way Presley has embraced this closer role?
You know, if you would have asked me that question at the beginning of the season, I would have not been very impressed, to be honest, because he kind of was thrusted into that closer role last season when Ozuna went down, and he kind of just stayed the course. But he was kind of right there in the top in the save department. And I think this offseason, he had a chance to think about it, kind of get his mind right that this is the role that he's going to be in now. And he's just, I mean, a 1.80 ERA. I mean, he's up at the top within saves right now. I think he's, I had it pulled up, but I mean, he's at the top of the league in saves right now. So he is enjoying that closer role, to be honest. I think it fits him now. And he, like I mentioned, he knew what he was getting into now. And so that's the mentality that he's in the game now. So I'm impressed. I'm glad that he's kind of settled into that role. And, you know, it's going to be great watching him, you know, close out games here in the future.
Now, here's the deal. I want to go to those men that are actually on the IL right now and that are hurt. Austin Pruitt looks to be a call up after the All-Star break, late June, early July. Pedro Baez, who arguably statistically is the best reliever in this relief corps, but hasn't pitched a game for the Astros. Let's say they get Pedro Baez back. Let's say they get Austin Pruitt back. Let's say they get who else? Joe Smith, and then Anoli Paredes is still out. You know, Brian Abreu is still out. We don't know how long, or I believe last updated, Anoli Paredes said that he'll be out 10-day IL. But anyways, we've got a lot of relief arms that could really be helping this bullpen, but they've been doing a good job. Clay, when a guy gets injured on a 10-day IL, okay, and he comes back, if it's not something that's too nagging of an injury and he's someone that you know you're going to count on like Pedro Baez, is that a shot in the arm for the bullpen when they get back and finally join the club?
Well, yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I mean, especially when you got some of these guys, veteran guys like Baez, even though they've yet to pitch, you know, they do have the career resume as being a strong person out of the pen that we can be relied on. So when you have the benefit of guys coming off, you know, the IL or whatever reason that, you know, they're currently not active, when they've already proven that they're productive at the big league level, it's always going to be a shot in the arm. And it's one of those things where it's a good problem to have for the front office staff to make those decisions of who they're going to have shuffling through that bullpen.
Yeah, exactly. So Rip, with this lineup, we go to, I believe we go to Detroit next. Is that correct?
That is correct for four games.
Four games. And what happened last time we played Detroit?
Well, unfortunately, it was not the, well, it was a great homecoming for AJ Hinch. Right. Unfortunately, you know, the Astros, they got swept. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it. They got swept.
Yeah.
You were trying to find it, man. I saw you like, well, they got swept, man.
But yeah, they got swept in AJ Hinch's homecoming. But since now we're going to Detroit for four games, we're riding a 10-game win streak right now. You know, the last three series we swept, and we've got the hot hand. I think, you know, we can continue the streak.
Yeah, I think it's going to be different in Detroit. Detroit has been up and down, and we face, thankfully, Jose Urena, who for the most part has not been a solid pitcher, 2-7 with a 5.79 ERA going against Luis Garcia. Now, Luis Garcia had gone on where Clay, he had won five games in a row. And when he was 5-3, he'd lost his last outing. But this guy, as a rookie, is being considered an all-star candidate. And people are talking about Presley and Garcia. And I've been talking, I actually mentioned Garcia before MLB Network even touched on it. This guy has the ability to be an all-star pitcher. What does it say to a veteran like Greinke to have someone like Luis Garcia fresh out of the box to just go out there and be completely dominant? Does that take some of the stress off of you as a veteran starter, knowing when your turn's up, you don't have to do as much or fight as hard?
You know, I think that as a starter, you don't really put that sort of pressure, I guess, okay, on yourself, because your job is to go out there and give your team a chance to win whenever it's your time to call. I think if you're starting to kind of get concerned about what's in front of you or what's behind you, you know, those intangibles are something that you can't mess with when you're pitching your game. You know, I can see some of that load maybe coming on in a situation where you get in the playoffs or you get in the World Series and it's game one and you're maybe one of the horses and you're kind of relied upon to kind of go out there and you know, set the tone. But, you know, I think that the benefit actually more is probably on guys like Garcia, you know, surrounding themselves around guys like Greinke, you know, that have been there such a long time, probably helping him, you know, calm his nerves. And like I said, you know, look, when a ball club's winning, it's a lot of fun to go out there and pitch. It gives you a little bit, you know, you always have your motivation to go out there and throw. Nobody's trying to lay down for any sort of reason, or they don't have enough to go out there one day versus the other. But when the team's winning, when you're on a streak, then you kind of, you know, you kind of, like I said, you bring it up a notch. You know, Garcia's numbers, you know, whether he's a rookie or whether he's been here 10 years, his numbers can't be argued. You know, he's throwing right now he's got a 2.82 ERA. With a whip, you know, hovering right above a one. And so that kind of tells you a little bit about what he's doing out there. He's going out there, he's throwing out strikes. He's not walking a lot of guys. He's not getting hit around very much. And, you know, you don't have to be watching every one of his starts just to kind of go scan his numbers right now. And you know that he's got some dominant stuff and he's getting weak contact. So surrounding, I think Greinke probably helps him out a lot, you know, because Greinke is kind of one of those guys that's a weak contact guy, especially when he was at a prime of his game. And all that knowledge, you know, is something that guys like Luis Garcia, I'm sure, are soaking up, and it's playing to a benefit for the Astros this season.
I love your analysis because you've been there, you've done that. You've literally worn the t-shirt. You know, I've just been a fan my whole life. You know, Rip and I both, you know, we're just kind of fans. We haven't played at the high level you have, but
to touch on that real quick though, it's like when I came up, I had veteran guys around me. You know, we had a veteran ball club, you know, David Wells, Woody Williams, Greg Maddux, you know, Trevor Hoffman in the bullpen, Ryan Klesko, these guys, you know, the positions. And so it was a pretty salty crew, you know, but I was able to learn a lot, you know, and it was a big reason why I was probably able to stay there, you know, being 4'2" and pitching in the big league. So, you know, when Woody Williams said, "Hey, son, you got better stuff than me. Just shut your mouth and listen to everything I got to say. You know, you kind of be quiet," you know, and so it's things like that that I'm sure that Garcia and some of the younger guys are kind of grasping on to some of the veterans that are on this in the locker room and on this ball club for the Astros.
Yeah, I've met Woody. We share a personal friend. One of his best friends, Jason Smith, is a good friend of mine from when I was a youth pastor. Woody Williams, a great guy, one of the coolest guys I've ever. It has been a pleasure to have Rip Griffin from the Rip Griffin Show. If you guys are on Twitter, look him up. Go to Apple, Google, or Spotify. Check out his podcast. Check out Clay's. Oh wait, not Clay's podcast. Go to a deer stand in Texas. You'll probably find Clay there. Tell Clay when he's in Texas, he's got to come hang out with me, because every time he's in Texas, I'm like, "Hey, let's hang out," and he's like, "Oh, I'm already flying back to San Diego." But it's all good. Jet set nature boy himself. So, Clay, you know, I really appreciate you taking time away from the family, because I know you got the whole crew there enjoying some family time. I appreciate you every time you come on the show. Thanks, your man. Experience is invaluable, and your partnership with our show is just straight fire. And Rip, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. This is Locked On Astros. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse, and we continue to be the only Astros podcast every day. We got all the bases covered, just like the Houston Astros. Well, I'm signing out. Thank you so much. Y'all have a good one. God bless, and let's go get an 11th straight game in Detroit. This is H-Town Wheelhouse, and I'm out.
This episode is brought to you by Locked On Now. Will the Atlanta Hawks continue to roll?
Check out Locked On Now to get your sports news in under 15 minutes across the sporting world. Join the great Peter Bukowski and subscribe wherever you get your podcast for Locked On Now.